You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
This is great news. If you've been waiting all week to watch the new four episodes of Wednesday that just dropped on Netflix with Lady Gaga, or if you're counting down the days until Tuesday when Hulu is back with Only Murders in the Building, you'll be happy to hear that binge watching is good for your brain.
No kidding. So yes. All the shows come back at this point. It's that time of year, right? So whether you're watching on networks or streaming shows, they're going to put out stuff to compete too.
Right. So what they found is that the University of Georgia, that people who binge shows or read for long sessions lower their stress levels and tend to be more creative. To me, that's interesting because I always am anti-binge watching because I think it stunts your creativity because you get so zoned in on the show that you think of nothing else. But they say that it makes you more creative because you're more likely to keep thinking about those stories and do something that's called retrospective imaginative involvement.
Okay.
Which is a fancy way of saying that you just replay the stories in your mind. And right. It stimulates your brain.
Place yourself in there or whatever. Or what would I do? Or how would it be different? Or what could this work for the storyline? Or if you're watching something that obviously the conclusion is not, you know, set already, you're wondering to yourself, how is this going to work out?
Okay, what do you think is binge watching? How long do you think you have to watch something for it to be a binge?
Oh, more than two episodes. It's got to be something over two and a half hours is what I'm thinking of. I'm watching Yellow Jackets right now. I'm stealing an episode whenever I can, but it's not enough to be the binge. I want to be binge and I don't want to get out of my clothes that day. And I want delivery right to the door.
Funny you should bring that up. We're going to get to that. So streaming services like Netflix have described binge watching as 2 to 6 episodes in one sitting.
Okay.
Okay. Academic studies, media people have said that it's more than 2 episodes back to back of the same show.
Yeah.
And most people don't consider binging unless you spend several hours, like more than 3 hours watching a series. And they say it gets unhealthy. You don't change out of your pajamas if it's making you not sleep at night because you're staying up late to watch.
Oh, I can't do that. That's the reverse.
Or it's making you skip meals, exercise, work, or other more important commitments.
I mean, it is skipping exercise. And from time to time, it will make the dogs skip their walk as well. Sorry, guys. But, you know, it depends on the length of episode. If it's a true hour, 2-3 hours, yeah, I would agree with all those numbers. If it's a half hour, how many episodes can you do in a row? I mean, I've done shorter shows, 12, 16 episodes in a day. Cobra Kai.
What?
I mean, some of them are short. You could just rip through them.
That can't be healthy or normal.
Oh, I didn't say it was either of those things. I just said I did it.
I always find it to be such a treat when I get to binge. And honestly, a binge for me is 3 hours. If I could watch something for 3 hours, that is a massive, massive thing. I watched the Gabby Petito documentary on Netflix.
Yeah, yeah.
Which was about 3 hours. And I did it because it was the night before my birthday and it was my birthday gift to myself was to sit there and to watch it.
It was very compelling.
But this weekend, it's going to be tough because, you know, I want to watch all four of these Wednesday episodes back to back. We'll see if I can do it. Back to school, back to routine. Are your kids already sick of their school lunches? I've tried everything, Chef Plum, and my daughter likes basically nothing. And at this point, I don't even care if it's healthy. Yeah. I'm just tired of cutting things up and putting things in little containers.
Nobody likes to feel like a failure, Plum. So make them good.
What are some good lunches that I can pack in less than 10 minutes and get this terrible thing that I have to do every day out of my life?
I'm with you. I understand. I remember those days very, very vividly. And I'll tell you what the first thing I did was, and it's going to sound like a cop-out answer, but I'm not lying to you. The first thing I did was I include them in packing the lunch. I make them be a part of it. It's important to do that because then they can pick what they want and they understand how to do it moving forward.
I mean, that's not something I could put in there. Every time I ask her, she just looks at me and she says, little muffins. That doesn't help, right?
That's her go-to.
Okay. But I think when you include them in doing the process, it makes things a lot easier. Now, there's also nothing worse than those little containers at the end of the day when they didn't bring the lunchbox in. You have to wash them. Some of the things we used to do, almost like a charcuterie tray. Take a little plate and put the charcuterie stuff out there, a little bit of cheese on there. And I wouldn't put all these little containers and separate. I'd put it in one little piece and then wrap the whole thing up. My kids love that.
Okay, so besides a wooden board or them packing their lunch themselves.
Wooden board. Think about when we were kids and we used to get those Lunchables. Remember those? It was like you buy it in the store and it has the pre-made things all set up for you.
Yeah.
You kind of make your cheese and cracker situation. You know, you could do crunchy green beans or dilly green beans. Those are like pickled ones. You know, those are fantastic too. You want things that aren't going to make things soggy because the goal here for us is to keep it simple and not have a bunch of cleanup afterwards. I like to do little slices of bread in there, little baguette pieces. And if you want to get really, really fancy and make them feel special, you can go to Amazon. Have you seen those little... It's almost like the same little jam containers you'd get from like a hotel or something like that. The small ones are like, you know, they hold like half an ounce of jam in there.
Yeah.
I would get a case of those. It's like $30 and you add one of those to the lunch every now and then. It's like a little treat.
Oh, like, and it's a jam. It's like a pre-made jam. It's like when you go to the diner.
Mm.
What if I just go to the diner and I steal a bunch of packets?
I mean, no, I guess you could do that too, but it's not going to make them feel as thought of.
Right. I'm thinking the little like jars they have of, you know, it's a little higher end jellies and jams, and it's not very expensive, but putting one of those in there every now and then is a nice little treat and they feel special when they have it. And I promise you, if they still trade things at lunch, that's worth a lot of money there at lunch.
Oh, yeah.
Sure, in the lunchroom.
Yeah, that little jar is kind of a good idea. Again, if you want to do it on the cheap, just go to the diner and just take some of those jellies.
It's not the same thing. Not the same packaging, no. School cafeterias and commissaries, those are going to come in really handy. I'm with you, Plum.
We kind of want you to stop encouraging people to steal condiments from places. That's just not a thing we want to do, right? We don't need to do that.
If they didn't want you to do that, they would put up a sign. There's no sign that says...
Oh, stop it.
Okay, all right.
All right, Plum. Fancy jams, baguettes, and all that aside, one last tip that you've got for kids' lunches.
Another great one to do is overnight oats. You can put them all in containers, and they can just grab the container and take it to lunch. They can put it in like the thermos, that sort of thing, where you keep it nice and cold. But you can make them the night before, and that can be the entire lunch. Doesn't have to have a bunch of things with it. I used to do it for my kids.
Did you say oats?
Overnight oats.
Yep.
They're a thing.
Like horses?
No.
Yep.
Like oatmeal, yep. But you make it in the refrigerator the night before. You know what I did for a short period of time until she told me to stop doing it? Is I would put the cereal in. I put like the little milk container and the little individual cereal packets.
Sure.
So that she could make herself a bowl of cereal for lunch.
Yeah.
And then she told me she was embarrassed because nobody else ate that. And I said, you should be embarrassed because you don't eat anything anybody else
I was going to say.
Oh,
right.
God.
Right. I kind of love the idea of my own, you know, cereal that I can make when it's time.
Chef Plum, wow. Check out his podcast wherever you get your podcast, Plum Love Foods. Thank you, Plum.
I thought these were great ideas. I know you don't like them, but I'm telling you they work.
No, they're great ideas, I'm sure. Just probably not for my kid. Think about the grossest place that you lost your phone. Did you get it? Did you go after it? More than half of Americans say that they would dumpster dive to save their phones. You going in a dumpster for your phone, Raven? You drop it in there?
I would say that a dumpster is a yes, right? I mean, if it's unless it's like a terrible city dumpster of a Thai place or something like that where it's going to be slimy and there's going to be rats or something in there. But unless it's that, yeah, I'll go in a dumpster for the phone. Yeah.
Over half of Americans say that they would reach into a toilet at a music festival to save their phones.
That's not me. Yeah, I don't think that I could do that. It's time for a replacement phone for me anyways. However, I don't trust the cloud. So it's going to be a setback for me, but I'm going to have to say no.
6 in 10 people say they jump into a pool fully clothed at a wedding to get their phone. I mean, I think I would too. You know, how many times have you had to use the bowl of rice? It's just now, except you're wearing a gown to get it.
Okay. I mean, a pool seems easy. The wedding, I get it. You want to retain your clothes, but who's the police that are saying that you've got to keep your clothes on? Once the phone is in the pool, what's the difference? Take your time. Take your socks and your shoes off at least. Remove your jacket.
Think about how many times that you actually drop your phone. It says that on average, Americans drop their phones more than 10 times per year. Yeah, I think I drop my phone at least once a week, I would think, somewhere where it's going to be annoying. It's usually like in the car, it falls out of my pocket and goes down to the side, and then I got to stick my hand all the way down there.
Oh, that's the worst.
Yeah, you got to get a kid. So Dakota, my little one.
Tiny hands is what you need.
She has small hands. I'm like, you got to shove your hand down here, baby girl, and you got to get mommy's phone.
Yeah, as a grown man, like I have to pull over and reach from the back and get out of the car and do it from the floorboards there. I probably drop my phone about once a week or so, but I've got good screen protector and I've got a good case. I haven't broken the screen on this thing. All right, let me tap on wood here. It's been years.
Wait a minute,
how old
is your phone? You don't have to put the screen protector anymore. Then you got the new stuff.
My phone's out. This is an 11. This is old.
Oh,
you know, this thing is old.
Wow.
You could play Atari on it.
It says that more than half of Americans would miss an international flight to save their phone. Ah, well, I guess. Like, how are you going to go overseas and not have your phone?
Yeah, no question about it.
All right, how about you? Where did you drop your phone and did you go in to get it? 1-800-330-9999.
Wanda, your phone horror story.
At a public porta potty at a festival. It was nasty.
Come on, girl. Not really. Seriously?
In
the hole, or did you just drop it in the bottom of the porta potty? Both are disgusting, but one, it's never coming back.
It was in the hole.
Oh.
No, you have to let it go, right? You didn't go in for it.
I had to. It was my phone. Oh. It was definitely unusable for the rest of the day, but I fixed it.
I don't want to get too much into the details here, but if that thing isn't at least halfway full, you can't see it.
When it's really clean, I feel like they use a lot of disinfectant in there. I don't know what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to say this is okay.
If it's really clean and it's in the disinfectant, it's in the water. You can't see it.
If you're there, like if you're the first person in the porta potty for the day,
you still can't see it. That stuff is like blue, ain't it?
It's so blue.
No,
it's like the ocean blue.
No,
it's like being in the Bahamas. Just close your eyes and think you're in the Bahamas. Just sticking your hand right in there.
No, I think you need it on a mountain of toilet paper. I think it's a horrific. The scenario. Yeah, that phone would be gone, in my opinion. But
1-800-330-9999. Where'd you drop your phone and did you go in after it? Over half of Americans say that if they dropped their phone in a porta potty, they would go in after it. That's tough. I need my phone, but I don't know.
There's no world that's going to be me. I wouldn't do it. Isn't it like an airplane where if you stick your hand in that thing, it's going to turn it blue? That's not something I want to find out. No, thank you.
Where did you drop your phone and did you go in after it? 1-800-330-9999.
Rick, where'd you drop your phone?
You know, you hear about it all the time, but I actually dropped it down an elevator shaft.
Oh, no.
How did that happen?
Worry about it. It happened to fall at just the right angle where it found that crack. Next thing you know, I hear the ting ting, boom, gone. I was like, no one's going to believe me.
So, I mean, were you able to recover it? Do you find, like, you know, building maintenance or something like that?
You know, yeah, that's exactly what I had to do. I had to go track down maintenance. Well, it's not like I could call them, so I had to, you know, track them down physically to get into the elevator shaft, and then they had to, like, go down it. Like, I got to see a little bit of what it looked like. But, yeah, there's, like, that big almost spring-looking thing at the bottom, and yeah, he managed to fish it out, and thankfully, because of the case I had on it didn't break, shockingly.
I can't believe that.
Elevator shaft, it's one of those things where even though the elevator is, you know, stopped, like you have it on an emergency or whatever, if you look down it, it's kind of scary.
It's always scary.
Because it's dark.
Yeah.
It's dirty. It's like oil and grease. That spring on the bottom sometimes looks like just like a metal pole. I mean, not for nothing. If the building's got rats, that's where they're going to be, too.
Nasty.
It's just crazy. And you know what it is? It's the thought of, well, what if the brake failed? Right? Mm-hmm. Like, if you're underneath it, or if you're looking at the elevator, well, what if the stops didn't work and it fell?
I believe we had an expert that came on once and told us that the chances of there actually being, like, where you fall to your death in an elevator is pretty slim to none. Like, there's a lot of safe measures. But at our office, our elevator has had a lot of issues over the air.
Yeah, it has. Speed was a great movie.
Oh, my gosh. I've been stuck in there. I've been where it's like a foot and a half
that doesn't
line up.
That thing is off 3 inches like every day I'm on it.
If we lost our cell phone and it went down the shaft, it'd just be gone forever.
Yeah, I think we'd have to let it go. I mean, right. I'm not going underneath it to retrieve it.
No, there's bodies down there.
I promise you that.
Yeah. Sheila, how about you? Where did you lose your phone?
In the lake after I got off a boat.
Oh, that's bad. Mm-hmm. And like lakes can be dirty. Did you get it back?
Oh, of course not. I'm sure a fish is having a ball with it right now.
Yeah. Like lakes and ponds. Like it's just muck at the bottom, right?
I am
like
always afraid. Anytime you're on a body of water, I am terrified for phones. If we're like on a pontoon in the summertime or whatever, and they like start taking out the phones, I'm like, everybody has to put those away and they have to put them safely in a bag somewhere. Because you know it's only a matter of time before one's going overboard.
Whenever I hear about somebody dropping a phone in a toilet, I think to myself, how? That's crazy. And it's amazing how it could happen.
Oh,
like you're just getting up, it's in your back pocket or anything like that, or you pick it up off the counter or something, the shelf that's in there, you know, the little shelf that makes, you know, the stall basically like your apartment. Mm-hmm. Those things can happen.
Every time I go to the bathroom, I pat my butt. And to make sure that my cell phone is not in there, because it's like
thing.
Second nature at this point that no. that's what I do.
Mm-hmm. I thought it was a butt thing.
No.
Fired Friday. Here's how it works. You share something that went terribly wrong at your job, and then the rest of us all guess on whether or not you got fired or not.
It's a lot of fun, especially if you've ever had a really bad day. It's like watching trash television and going, my life isn't so bad.
1-800-330-9999. All right, Victor, what went terribly wrong at work?
So I just had a pair of twins and newborns, and I was just up all night taking care of them. So I was so tired. I work in sales, and it was in the middle of the day. I ended up going to the supply closet, and I took a nap for a couple hours. And I woke up to one of my superiors opening up the door and just having an awkward eye contact without any words for about 7 seconds.
I think that this is a problem that a lot of companies have, people sleeping on the job. I have heard stories of all kinds of different professions where they got caught sleeping. And I have to tell you, Victor, all those people have gotten fired. All of them. And you have unique circumstances because you just had babies, you just had twins. So yeah. I could see some sympathy there, but my guess is going to be that you got fired.
I'm going to guess that you didn't get fired. If your supervisor is somebody that's got kids or ever had kids or has any experience whatsoever with kids, they're probably going to give you one warning is what I'm thinking in that regard.
Yeah, I did not get fired. Thank God. We ended up going to his office and we talked for a little bit and I told him my situation and he said, hey, listen, I understand. I can't catch you doing that again or I'm going to let you go. So I said, okay.
All right.
It's a good warning.
Coffee.
Yeah.
All the time.
Did I sleep? When I had Dakota last time, when she was, she was difficult at night. She was up every hour.
Sure.
I mean, I don't even know how I survived 2018. But I don't remember sleeping in here. Did I sleep?
You would sleep from time to time in between breaks. You would sleep sometimes at the end of the show for a while before we had a meeting.
I don't even remember. It's all a blur.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Some days it was really difficult.
Yeah.
Other days it was perfect.
Yeah. Can you imagine? I just put my head down and be like, wake me up in 10 minutes.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you used to do that all the time. Yeah. You don't remember that?
Not really.
Oh, no. Man. You used to do that all the time.
Okay. Angela, fired Friday. What happened at work? We're going to guess whether or not you got fired.
Well, I didn't have any more PTO. And I knew I wasn't feeling well, but then things started not tasting correct. So I took a COVID test and I was positive and I left it on my desk while going to the bathroom and the CEO saw it. Yeah. And I was still at work with my positive COVID test that he saw.
First of all, weird that your CEO would just walk by your desk and start looking at a test that's out there.
I work at the front desk. It's not so weird.
Hmm.
You left it on the front desk and got up and walked away. That's not bright. I mean, if somebody's going to walk into the place and go ahead and take a look at your desk, that's definitely not the foot that you want to put forward. But I'm going to say you didn't get fired. I mean, here's the thing. You took the test right there, right? Easy to explain. Sorry, here's the test. You know, didn't know before. And honestly, it's like 1 hour you could take it and not be positive. The next hour you could take it and be positive. I don't think you get fired for that. I think you get sent home immediately.
Right. I think that you have to make an example. If you're not feeling well, we don't care if you have PTO or not, go home. I think Raven's right. You were sent home, but not fired.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I was sent home and told, you know, that we'll just take PTO away from you next year, but we can't have you in the office today.
It's interesting that they said we'll just take the PTO day off from next year because usually they just dock your pay for that day.
They won't roll over here.
No, not at my job.
Oh,
yeah. Nope.
That's pretty cool. All right, Fired Friday. You tell us what went terribly wrong at your workplace. We guess if you got fired. Another round of Fired Friday. What happened at your job that went terribly wrong? And then everybody guesses whether or not you got fired. 1-800-330-9999. Gino, what happened at work?
Well, I like to bring them in my own food. And I had a gumbo, but it was made with like a bunch of cod and all this other like fishy stuff. Put it a little bit too long inside the microwave. By the time I came in, it exploded and like the funk was for real. Mm. So everybody was like, who did the smell? Who did the smell? And then I was kind of like in the group of people like, I don't know who did the smell. Eventually, if they found out that it was me, and it became like a very big issue.
What kind of company was it? It was
an office company. So we were like, you know, we were in the customer service section.
And you didn't clean the microwave?
But I cleaned it up as soon as it exploded. But the idea was that people were complaining that they put their food in and it was smelling like my food.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think you can fire somebody for that, technically. No. I think that you might want to, but I don't think you can. I'm going to say you didn't get fired.
Yeah, you definitely did not get fired for that, my guess would be. I am also an inconsiderate microwaver. And my husband gets very upset because he doesn't like when I use the air fryer at home to warm up fish. I have microwaved fish here at work. I have microwaved eggs here at work before. And I still have a job somehow. Yeah. So.
I think labor laws protect you from firing somebody if they were actually going to eat the food. But I think that nobody is pleased by that.
Yeah. So what happened?
No, I didn't get fired, but they did put one of those ridiculously big signs on top of the microwave saying, please be mindful of the food that you put in there. And, you know, they put food and smells and like bold underlined things. And it was obvious it was me. So it was embarrassing. I wish I would have gotten fired. I don't work there anymore. So it would have been a nice reason to get fired.
Oh, there's a new one that's above our sink. What does it say?
If the dishwasher is full and they are clean, empty it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It has a picture of a bee. Be active. Be
mindful.
I don't know. Something.
Be something.
Something.
Nancy, what happened at work that went terribly wrong?
I'm a personal assistant and working for my boss, and she sells jewelry. And so she lent me this like beautiful bracelet to wear to my brother's wedding, like stunning, like antique diamond bracelet, $5,000-$6,000 bracelet. And I don't know what happened. I got a little too lit at my brother's wedding and I lost the bracelet. And I was like completely distraught for weeks. I didn't know how to tell it to her. Finally had to come clean and tell her that I lost this bracelet. And it was just maybe one of the worst experiences of my life.
Do you get fired for that?
Was
it a jewelry company, did you say? I'm sorry, I missed that.
She buys and sells. You know, she's like a dealer. I mean, obviously all her stuff is insured, but it was still pretty bad to lose like such a treasure. And the fact that she trusted me, not a good situation.
Okay.
Yeah, I fire you, I guess. It's $5,000-$6,000 that I'm out. Even though I lent it to you, you know, it was under the understanding that you would take care of it. And if your excuse is, sorry, I got too drunk, don't know what happened. It's not a good one, $5,000-$6,000. And then you beat around the bush for 5-6 weeks. That's the part for me that if I'm your employer, if I can't trust you to come clean and tell me about something right when I need to know about it, that's a bigger problem for me.
Well, right. If you just would have went in there the next day, apologetic.
I'm so sorry. Right.
I can't believe this happened. I'm humiliated. I think that that's a different conversation than hiding it for a significant period of time.
Yeah, I say you're fired.
Yeah, I think you're fired too. What happened?
I got fired. Yeah. It was definitely, I just couldn't, I didn't know how to broach it. Like I was like calling out of work.
And then you found it
a
week after you got fired. Right.
I took it to the pawn shop. No, that would have been a dream. I would have done anything to find it. But yeah, I'm no longer employed by her.
Kids Beat Raven.
Coming up in a little bit, the Can't Beat Raven cash jackpot is $5,400. That's where you, an adult, gets to go head-to-head against Raven in pop culture trivia. But all this week at this time, we've been playing Kids Beat Raven for their chance to win some back-to-school gift cards for their shopping. Kaden, you ready to play today?
Yep.
Are you feeling confident?
Yeah.
What grade are you in?
Fifth.
Fifth grade? You know your stuff?
Yeah.
You know, it's Friday. Nothing would make me happier than for Raven to lose. Can you please ask him to leave the room?
Raven, can you leave the room?
Yeah, you got it, man. Good luck.
All right, here we go, Kaden. Raven is walking out of here. That door is going to close. He's not going to be able to hear us. It's a soundproof studio. I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. You can answer them. You have to take about 3 seconds. Give it a best try. I'll bring them back in. Ask them the same questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. Ties technically go to Raven, but because it's back to school time, I'm already going to give you this gift card no matter what. Sound good?
Okay.
Number one, Roblox is creating new technology to identify what age the player is to protect them. When your Roblox player gets hurt, the character gets hurt, what sound is used that's become famous? What's the sound that you hear?
I don't know. I don't play Roblox.
Oh, that's disappointing. I play Roblox. I'm very good at the one where you have to dress up the characters. Dress to impress. Number two, the Bluey movie has a release date. It's August of 2027. Name one of Bluey's parents.
Chili.
Number three, what book series written by Jeff Kinney that was just released its 20th volume follows seventh grader Greg Heffley?
Diary of a Wimpy Kid.
Number four, Sony created and sold the rights to K-pop Demon Hunters to Netflix, and now it's the most watched movie ever on Netflix. What is the name of the rival boy band that the Huntrix girls face?
Sasha Boys.
And number five, Beavis and Butthead are coming to Fortnite. What's the name of the flying vehicle that players jump out of at the start of a match?
I don't know. Okay. I don't play that.
Okay, that's all right. Do you play any video games? Let me bring him back in.
Yo.
No, not really.
That's good for you. I didn't either until I got into that Dress to Impress on Roblox. All right. Yeah. All right. So 3 out of 5 for Caden, Raven.
All right. Great job, man. Let's see how I do.
Number one, Roblox is creating new technology to identify what age the player is to protect them. When your Roblox player gets hurt, the character gets hurt, what sound is used to play that's become very famous?
Doink.
Oof.
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 Sorry.
Number two, the Bluey movie has a release date, August of 2027.
I mean, how much time do they need? I'm waiting over here. Let's go.
Name one of Bluey's parents.
Mom. Dad. They're called Mom and Dad.
No, they're real names, please.
Nobody calls them that. They call them Mom or Dad.
No.
It's in the theme. It's in the intro.
It's funny because Caden knew.
I don't know.
It's Bandit and Chili. Number three, what book series written by Jeff Kinney that was just released its 20th volume follows seventh grader Greg Heffley?
Diary of a Wimpy Kid?
It is Diary of a Wimpy Kid.
Yeah, look at me!
Number four, Sony created and sold the rights to K-pop Demon Hunters to Netflix, and now it's the most watched movie of all time on Netflix.
All right.
What's the name of the rival boy band that the Huntrix girls face?
I don't know.
Saja Boys.
Definitely. Yeah, the tip of my tongue.
Number five, Beavis and Butthead are coming to Fortnite.
I saw this. Wait a minute. They're like coming back all over the place.
What's the name of the flying vehicle that players jump out of at the start of a match?
I have no idea. The DeLorean?
The Battle Bus.
All right.
Yep. All right, Caden, you beat Raven today 3-1. That's going to win you this gift card for your back to school shopping.
Thank you. My name is Caden, and I just beat Raven.
Mm-hmm. Congratulations, man. Have a great year at school.
Thank you.
And don't forget, coming up later on, Can't Beat Raven Jackpot $5,400. You can sign up to play that at annonraven.com.
And now, Anna and Raven's Middle Schooler News.
Hi, Houston. How are you?
Good.
Are you excited to be our middle schooler for the day?
Yeah.
What grade are you in?
Sixth grade.
And where do you go to school?
Washburnville North in Topeka.
Oh, well, we're so glad to have you today.
Yeah, thank you so much for being here. Can't wait to hear the stories that you're going to share with us.
All right, so give it to us, Houston. Top three stories of the day. Number one.
Five new cast members will join the upcoming season of Saturday Night Live. NBC announced on Tuesday that the heels of several high-profile departures will be joining. Ben Marshall, already an SNL writer, will now become a featured player, along with several newcomers, Tommy Brennan, Jeremy Colhane, Cam Patterson, and Veronica Slowikowska.
I always think it's cool when I see writers progress to be cast members of SNL, Anna, which, you know, because you know it's been a journey for them. There are a lot of people that are just influencers that are being brought into it now, which that's a little bit confusing for me. I hope they've got the chops to carry on.
Houston, have you ever watched Saturday Night Live?
Yeah.
Do you think it's funny?
Mm-hmm.
I think that the reason why they blew out so many of the cast members is the ratings are down, but I think it's a problem that traditional TV has in general because everybody's going to streaming.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel bad for all the people that lost their jobs, but they're trying to bring in these influencers, like you said, Raven, and I think they're trying to attract a younger generation.
Here's the thing. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a business after all. So it's a show, but you have to bring people in. If you're not doing that, then time to move on.
Houston, give us that second story.
The 2025 NFL season opened up last night with the defending Super Bowl champions, Philadelphia Eagles, playing the Dallas Cowboys in Philly.
And the Cowboys look just like the Cowboys do, Anna. Pretty good, and then not enough to win. But how about that Eagles player getting ejected before the first play even comes from scrimmage?
Yeah, he said he's sorry. He spit on the guy. He said it was a mistake. Yeah, no kidding. Do you watch football?
Yeah.
Who's your favorite team?
The Chiefs.
Yeah.
Is that Taylor Swift? Is that what that is?
Is it because of Taylor Swift or just because you're a true fan of the athleticism of the Kansas City Chiefs?
Yeah, I mean, I've been watching since I was like 5.
Right.
Okay.
Of course, yeah. All right.
Always a Chiefs fan?
Yeah, she's named after a Chiefs player.
Oh, that's cool.
I love that.
All right.
Okay, which player?
Justin Houston.
All right, awesome. And Houston, give us that last big story of the week.
Sabrina Carpenter's new album, Man's Best Friend, was one of the year's most highly anticipated pop releases for months before it dropped. And now it has the numbers on Spotify to prove it. As announced by the streaming service Tuesday, September 2nd, the 12-track LP has set a new 2025 record for most streams in a single day for an album by a female artist.
What do you think of Sabrina Carpenter?
I like her music. I'm a fan.
Did you listen to this new album?
Yeah.
I'm going to guess not in front of your father, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow.
I have to say, even listening to it with my 16-year-old Hayden,
yeah.
I said, Hayden, I can't.
I mean, that's Sabrina Carpenter.
Yeah.
It's not like she's shocking anybody. That's the way her music has been for a long time.
Yeah, there was a lot of very uncomfortable questions that came up after listening to that album.
Were you asking your daughter or her asking you?
Maybe a little of both, Raven.
I was going to say.
A little bit of both. And she said it. She said, if you are a clutch your pearls kind of person, this is not the album for you. And
for
I didn't really understand what that meant until I listened and I said, now I get it.
Yeah.
Now I get it. Houston, you have been an absolutely incredible, incredible correspondent. And I thank you so much for joining the show this week.
Yeah, great work. Have a great year.
Thank you.
Mommy's Margarita Friday.
Oh, mama.
Anna and Raven.
What did you do this week to earn your margarita? 1-800-330-9999. Doesn't matter if you're a mom or you're a dad or your kids are furry and have four legs. This is your chance to vent about what you did this week, maybe even your coworkers, that has earned you the weekend. Cassidy!
I finally organized my socks because I collect them and I have hundreds of them. So this was a feat.
Very witty. I gotcha. I've been trying to do, you told me, Anna, about the thing where you were like rolling your t-shirts and putting them in the drawers.
Yeah, it organizes.
Yeah, so that you could see everything better.
Yep.
I haven't done it yet, but it sounds like a brilliant idea to me. So my hat's off to you about the socks. Socks is something I'm never going to organize. I just dig in there every time.
How many socks do you say you have? You collect them?
I do. I like them when they're funky and they have the different designs. So when you're missing one, it really shows because the other design doesn't match it.
No kidding. I know. Speaking of collecting socks, did you hear that the guy broke the Guinness World Record for the most pairs of Crocs? He has 3,800 pairs of Crocs.
I mean,
they're expensive.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a lot of money.
But like, that's like two rooms in your house, too. Like,
right.
No record is worth it to me. So you got a plaque, but the rest of your life is in shambles? No, thanks.
You just have Crocs everywhere.
No.
At least they're comfortable. They're made of foam.
Yeah. Try going to find a girlfriend. If she's not into Crocs, it's not happening.
All right. Well, either way, Cassidy, enjoy your margarita.
Thanks.
And then Raven, Anthony, tell us, what'd you do this week to earn your margarita?
Hey, how are you? I changed my neighbor's tire. She's a very elderly, very sweet woman. And she was, like, devastated, just staring at it like it was a UFO. So luckily she had a spare, so I jacked it up, changed her tire for her. And
Pretty
she
nice.
Was so happy.
Pretty good. I actually rotated my wife's tires and changed the oil.
Oh my God.
Big deal.
No.
And I did it in like an hour and 10 minutes. That's like I was like NASCAR pit
fast.
Stop.
Yeah, you know I don't approve of you working on cars.
Oh, man.
Yeah, no, I've got an air hammer drill and everything, bro. Or whatever you call that thing.
Okay.
I was like, boop, boop, boop.
Yeah.
With the lugs, real nice. Then I feel like a pro.
I'm worried for her life.
Oh,
now.
I had to use her old school jack. It took forever, but it was cool, though. She was happy.
Yeah, that's good of you, Anthony. Enjoy that margarita. You earned it. Or a Coors Light.
Thank you. I love you guys.
Thank you, bud.
Sandy, tell us, what'd you do this week during your margarita?
I've been working on this group project for the last 6 months at work. Every time I sent it in, it came back with revisions. And finally, last night, it got the green light.
Oh, what a good feeling.
Somebody's getting drunk tonight.
It's going to be like two margaritas, tomorrow. Three.
Congratulations. That's a big deal. Good for you. Enjoy.
Thank you.
NFL season is already underway. Morgan Bedard is a freelance sideline reporter and knows everything NFL. And are you excited about this season?
I am so excited about this season. There are so many players that have moved from team to team. There's so many players and teams that have improved in the offseason. I think it's going to be a really competitive, exciting season.
You know, Morgan, forgive me, but freelance sideline reporter, how does that work? So did you just show up? Break into sidelines all over the place, and when you get the shot or you get the interview, people are like, pay her?
So I generally do colleges. I was with NBC doing social media and producing for some of our football content for the last couple of years. I actually just had a baby, so I've been on maternity leave, and thank you, and taking a step away from NBC for the season just to be home with my little one.
Yes.
What a cool thing.
I guess the big story always is when you're talking about football right now, and I hate to start it with that because I know Raven's going to roll his eyes, but it has to do with the Chiefs. It's the Chiefs and the Eagles. It's like they're the story for the last few years. And it's not just because of the Kelce brothers, but because both those teams are excelling.
Well, you know what, Morgan? Yeah. Why don't we do it this way, right? If you're the person who's tired of hearing about the Chiefs and the Eagles, remind people why it is that they're going to have to hear that a lot this year.
So the Chiefs have completely revamped their offensive line. That's great if you're a Chiefs fan. If you're not, that means you're probably going to get pretty sick of hearing potential MVP talk for Patrick Mahomes. He's going to have so much more time to throw the ball. I think you'll be seeing a lot more touchdowns and long yard passing from him this season. Now, obviously, we got to talk about the Travis Kelce of it all. You know, there's always retirement rumors with him. He is getting older, so will this be his last season? I don't know. I think that'll be a storyline that you hear a ton this season.
Yeah, Morgan, you know, there's one thing is like the offensive line. Yeah, it was bad for the Chiefs last year.
Yeah, but it was not good.
They've still got a lot of questions at receiver. So with Kelce, I mean, he probably wants to see some people, you know, maybe they still make an acquisition here or whatever, because, you know, Rice is going to have to serve his suspension or whatever at some point, right? Like all those things are still coming.
The Chiefs every once in a while remind me of the Bill Belichick Patriots days where they don't have any big names on receiver.
It doesn't matter, though,
but
right?
It doesn't matter because Patrick Mahomes is so solid that he can make those rookie receivers look fantastic.
Yeah, that's true. All right, but the Eagles, so how about them? Can they repeat?
I think this would be their best year to repeat. The Eagles somehow always manage to keep all their players and pay all of their players and make new acquisitions that just blow everyone's minds. I do think that their offense is going to be a little bit better. I think that this season is going to be one where they can build off of the momentum that they had last season. What's different this year than last year is I truly think that the NFC East is going to be a much harder division for them to win.
If you had to say top five teams to watch out for this year, what do you think they would be?
All right, my first one has got to be the Bills. They're always on the cusp. They're always biting their teeth into getting into the playoffs, and they just keep getting those pesky Chiefs.
Same story, though. It's the same story.
Commanders, you know, I'm from D.C., my hometown team. The Lions last year went really far, obviously, but I think people were hoping for a little bit more at the end. And I think if they can stay healthy this year, they have to be the top favorites to making it into the Super Bowl. The Eagles and the Chiefs, you always have to put them up there. And then I just have to say the Giants, you know, Russell Wilson, Jackson Dart, Jameis Winston, new defensive line. I think it's going to be a really fun year for the Giants fans.
I think we should have stopped at four, but I will represent your fandom then and pat you on the back. And that's what football is all about. So thank you, Morgan.
Morgan Bedard is a freelance sideline reporter. Thank you so much.
One couple.
It makes me furious. I don't get it.
This is what she wants to do.
One problem.
My daughter wants to do a spa weekend for her 16th birthday.
And I'm being deprived of going there because I'm a guy?
You decide the outcome.
All right, Gabby, you got to be happy to hear that, right?
Yeah, I mean, we can have a family dinner when we get back in town.
It's Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day a couple joins us to let us know what their disagreement is about. And then it's up for you to decide who's right. Couples Court is powered by T-Mobile. If you're 55 and up, T-Mobile has plans built just for you. Right now, you can save big with T-Mobile's phone and home internet bundle. Visit your local store to learn more. Patricia and Steve. Patricia, let's start with you. What's going on?
Yeah, so I'm a nurse, and I have a pretty early morning. I have to wake up at 4:30. And, you know, I like to relax a little bit and, like, ease into my morning. I'm not someone who can just set her alarm for 4:30 and, like, bounce out of bed. So I set my alarm at 3:50, and, you know, I snooze it a few times. And Steve is not pleased with this, and so we're coming to you for a little help because he gets to sleep in, and he works from home, and he gets to snooze as much as he wants, so it's become a bit of an issue.
Steve, what's your side of this? I can guess because I've lived this, but go ahead.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think she used the wrong term when she said relaxing. It's not a relaxing process to have four or five alarms set up. There's no relaxing. It's hey, babe, get out of bed. Babe, get out of bed. I stay up the entire time because I hear those alarms every 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Sometimes I, like, 9 minutes into it, I'm like, babe, the second alarm, it's ridiculous. And she thinks that I should just go and sleep in the guest room. And I'm like, but baby, it's just like, just get up early. And, you know, and do some other thing to remind yourself to stay awake or just wake up at 4:30.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, it's a nightmare scenario. And the most ironic thing has happened in my life. This was my life. When my wife was waking up the same time as me or earlier, she was a snoozer. Same thing. 2, 3, maybe 4 times a day. And I could not understand how somebody can function that. I was never somebody could hit the snooze button my entire life. And all of a sudden, the last 6 to 9 months, I'm hitting the snooze button once or twice a day.
That's a dangerous, slippery slope to fall down.
It is. And she's waking up later than me now, and I'm pretty sure she wakes up to one alarm. It must be driving her nuts. I mean, I hear her roll over when I do it. And like you, I would stay awake throughout it, too. It's inconsiderate of your partner, but I don't know what you do. I don't know how you solve it. I have to break myself of the habit now before I end up late.
How do you solve it? You solve it that Steve's right. Patricia, you set one alarm. That's the time you have to wake up. And when it goes off, you get up.
Yeah.
I understand, and I feel sympathy because that's also my life. I know, but I am so terrified of my emergency alarm going off that's set further away that's going to wake up the entire house if it goes off.
Yeah.
That I don't play that game. But the fact that you asked him to go sleep in a different room if it was bothering him so much, I have to say, is really next level.
No, it's a little selfish.
Yeah.
I mean, scientifically, you don't get better sleep that way. But there's plenty of people that agree with you.
Right. And I do understand that if that's the way you do it and that's the way you like to do it, then shouldn't you have the freedom to do that?
It's a hard habit to break.
I don't know. What does the audience think? Is Patricia wrong to set so many snooze alarms so early in the morning and her husband can't go back to sleep? And should he just go sleep in the other bedroom? It's only 4 days a week, you said.
1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? It's the Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
Oh, the snoozer. So Patricia and Steve. Patricia is a nurse 4 days a week. She has to get up very, very early in the morning. She starts her alarm.
3:45, I think.
3:45.
Yeah,
and then every 10 minutes,
4:30.
It goes off. And she says that's how she likes to ease into her days. And Steve, her husband, has a real problem with that.
Yeah, he thinks it's a nightmare. He's like, "That there's nothing easy about that." He said from the moment her first alarm goes off, I never fully go back up to sleep, and I get to sleep a little bit later. She says, maybe you should go sleep in the guest room.
Right.
I mean, feels a little inconsiderate, right? Like, I mean, I've been in this situation, though. My wife used to be a snooze button person, and lately, now I am, and I think it drives her crazy. It's all flipped.
Right. I could never. I jump up out of bed when that first alarm goes off, because mm-hmm. I know if one of the other ones goes off, the entire house is waking up, and nobody wants that.
Sure.
Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Mike.
Okay. Hey, Steve, I'm on your side, man. So, Patricia, if you are the one that has to wake up early and you're the one that has all these alarms set, then maybe you should sleep in the guest room.
That's a good point.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you think about it, Steve still has time to sleep. Mm. If you have to wake up so early, you know, then you know, maybe that just is the more practical solution.
That's just science. Thank you for the call.
Thanks, Mike. Thank you. Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. It's a Couples Court. What if your spouse worked significantly earlier than you and started at 3:30 in the morning, setting off a snooze button every 10 minutes for 45 minutes?
I lived this. It was like a personal hell, to tell you the truth. Very, very uncomfortable, because you want your spouse, you want your partner to get their sleep. You want them to wake up and enjoy their day, too, because if you don't, it just bleeds over into your day. But on the other hand, you're in purgatory, right? You just want to sleep another 20 to 30 minutes and be afforded that.
The Couples Court verdict is powered by Progressive Commercial Insurance. It can protect your small business with over 30 coverage options, an easy-to-use mobile app, personalized discounts, and more. Get a quote in as little as 6 minutes at ProgressiveCommercial.com. Discounts and coverage selections not available in all states or situations.
Steve says the alarm goes off. Get up, Patricia. Patricia says, you don't like it? I get up earlier than you. Go sleep in the guest room. What's the big deal?
What do you think? 1-800-330-9999. Jack, whose side are you on?
Personally, you know, what this last person just said kind of stuck out to me about the person that needs to wake up early.
Yeah.
Got to go in the other room. I think that makes more sense.
Okay. You're like, you know what? If they can't work it out, just split the area. One sleeps one space, one sleeps the other. Do it however they want.
They do call it a sleep divorce, and a lot of couples do it. A lot of couples do it because one person snores, and they can't help it, obviously.
It's a sleep separation.
Okay.
We're not filing paperwork here.
No.
Are you serving anybody?
Well, no, but I'm just saying it works for a lot of couples.
Right. I mean, thanks for the call. Have a great day.
This is a little different because she's volunteering to set off her alarm every 10 minutes.
Yeah.
What do you think, Karen? Whose side are you on?
So I'm on his side, and I have a different spin on it. I think there's something else she's very upset with him about and can't get it out, and this is the way that she's kind of nudging him, like a passive, like, relational aggression thing.
Okay, so it's a conspiracy, is what you're saying. Automatically, we have no evidence of it, but we're going next level, is what you're saying.
No, I think you should start journaling. I think there's something else that she's upset about, and this is how it's coming out, because it seems like such an easy fix.
I like when Karen gets all psychological.
Thank you, Karen, thank for the call. How about you, Maria? What do you say?
I'm definitely 101% on a husband's side.
Okay, tell us why.
So she's not the only one that she get up in the morning. Everybody has to get up in the morning. And the fact that she's telling her husband to move from a different room, the question is, why you marry? So it's just like, that's the next level. I think the husband's 100% right. Put one alarm, get your up, and that's it.
All right. Thanks, Maria.
That's ridiculous. So if you tell your husband, your partner, to go to sleep in the other room,
right,
get divorced.
Right. Thank you, Maria. Right. Have a great day.
Maria's fired up.
Thank you. All right, Maria. Thank you. Have a great day.
We got your vote.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Steve, our audience agreed with you. Patricia is just inconsiderate. Your husband wants to sleep with you, next to you, in bed, in your bed. And the fact that it's waking him up every 10 minutes, either cut it down significantly or just set the alarm when you want to wake up.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, I just fear that I'm not going to be able to wake up and then I will miss my shift. And my shift is the one, I'm the nurse, so I provide the health insurance for the family. I don't know. I feel like the audience isn't seeing all of the other elements of this story and of our relationship. But, I mean, okay, I guess.
Patricia, let's just do something simple. Tomorrow, you and I, we're going to make a pact. We're both going to get up the first time our alarm goes off. We're going to do it together. Tomorrow.
Okay, for you, I will do it.
All right.
We'll see how it goes. I'll let you know.
I mean, you can set it 10 minutes later, but the first time it goes off, we're getting up.
Wish me luck.
All right, good luck. You have a problem too? Send an email, couplescore@annonraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
The Can't Beat Raven cash jackpot is $5,400 thanks to Wayfair. Cozify your space with Wayfair's curated collection of easy, affordable fall updates, from comfy recliners to cozy bedding and autumn decor. Find it all for way less at wayfair.com. Tatiana, are you ready to play today?
Yes, I am.
Do you know your stuff?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, please leave the room.
You got it. Good luck. $5,400.
All right. Here we go. My goal this week was to give away this money, and it's Friday. So let's try. Raven can't hear us. We're in a soundproof studio. I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. You have 3 seconds to answer each one. I'll bring them back in. Ask them the same questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. Ties go to Raven. Are you ready?
Yes.
Number one, there are over 30 Lainey Wilson-themed corn mazes across the country this year. What popular TV show did Lainey Wilson appear on playing Abby?
Yellowstone.
Number two, Sarah Michelle Gellar hosted a 90s pop-up shop in New York City this week with items starting at just 95 cents. She played what 90s character that battled vampires and demons?
Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Number three, Lady Gaga has been added as a performer to this Sunday's MTV VMAs. She had to cancel a concert this week in what city, citing an extremely strained voice?
Oh, I don't know. Las Vegas?
Number four, Justin Bieber dropped a surprise album last night. It's a sequel to the album he released this past July. What's it called?
Swag 2.
Number five, James Patterson is offering new writers up to $50,000 to finish their books. What is the name of the main detective character in his novels, Step on a Crack, Run for Your Life, and Worst Case?
I don't know.
All right, let me bring Raven back in.
Yep.
3 out of 5 for Tatiana.
All right, not great, not terrible. Let's see how I do. Whole lot of money.
Number one, there are over 30 Lainey Wilson-themed corn mazes across the country this year.
I mean, obviously.
What popular TV show did Lainey Wilson appear on playing Abby?
She was on Yellowstone.
I assume they're all in the shape of her cowboy hat or her bell-bottom jeans.
You think that's what they're in the shape of?
Yes.
Something else comes to my mind.
The Ew, Raven. Number two, Sarah Michelle Gellar hosted a 90s pop-up shop in New York City this week with items starting at just 95 cents. She played what 90s character that battled vampires and demons?
I'm sorry, are we done talking about Lainey Wilson's butt? She played Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Yes. I heard that they had like Jordans starting at a dollar.
Oh wild. My gosh, what?
Yeah. Number three, Lady Gaga has been added as a performer this Sunday at the MTV VMAs. She had to cancel a concert this week in what city, citing an extremely strained voice?
The 305, Miami.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, if you waited like me to see her in Wednesday, she was great, but she has like 2 minutes of screen time.
Yeah, I heard.
Everybody's
upset that it's just not enough.
I just wanted more. All right, number four, Justin Bieber dropped a surprise album last night. It's a sequel to the album he released this past July. What's it called?
Swag 2, boy!
Yep.
I wonder if this one has any actual good songs on it.
Number five, James Patterson is offering new writers up to $50,000 to finish their books. Oh, all right. He could pay me. I would love to finish my book. Now, what is the name of the main character that's a detective in his novels Step on a Crack, Run for Your Life, and Worst Case? Why are you kicking my chair?
Because I know this one and it's going to make me mad. It's not, you said detective? Is it Cross?
No, it's Michael Bennett.
Oh, that's the other ones.
Because everyone was going to say Cross.
Yeah.
Okay, 4-3 today, Tatiana. That gets you an Anna and Raven t-shirt.
It's Tatiana and I can't beat Raven.
Better luck next time. Enjoy that shirt, girl. $5,500 Monday, Anna. Wow.